We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org, willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Senator Harkin of Iowa says it's not okay to consider how land overseas is used when writing biofuels regulations. A federal court has ruled against Monsanto's GMO sugar beets, and the rubber-slash-chicken row between the U.S. and China continues. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Hey, it's National Farm Safety and Health Week. Today we'll hear how the president of the Illinois Sheriff's Association says rural roads can be made safer for motorists and farmers. And then we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lerner Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lerner Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat for the soft red at $4.60, up 4.25. The March at 479.5, 4 cents higher. And the May wheat at 492, up 4. December contract in Kansas City, a penny and a quarter higher. For the hard red, $4.69.5, the settlement price there. December contract for the corn pit in Chicago, $3.30.25, up 4.5. That's the new crop lead option. March at 343.25, up 4.25. And the May at 352.5, up 4.25. July 360.75, up 3.75, and September corn at 369.5, up 3.75. November soybeans, $9.20.5, down a penny and a half today. January a penny and a quarter lower at 925. The March at 926, down 1.75. May at 925, 2.75 lower. And July soybeans, 926.25, down 4.25. August at 920, down 5.5. October bean meal, 284.50, 240 higher. October oil at 34.16, down 35. And the October live cattle, 86.45, $1.17.5 higher. September feeders at 96.85, up a dime. And lean hogs finished the October, $1.05 higher at $50.92.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures, $68.97 a barrel. A settlement price, $2.79 lower for the day. October ethanol at $1.65.5. That's just about a half a tenth of a cent lower. That's a point at 5 tenths of a cent lower, that is. And then natural gas at $3.84.9. That's 24 cents higher for the day. The RBOB at $1.70.2, down 7.9. And the heating oil at $1.75.9, a half of a cent lower. Propane futures at 98.6 of a cent, 3 tenths of a cent lower. And the gold futures at 1,013, down $1.20. The Dow at 9,897 now stands just about 67 points higher for the day. And the dollar at 76.04 is down 0.06. The CRB index at 256.52, down 2.63. And the Goldman Sachs on the afternoon trading down 101 at 454.93. That's actually down 10.4 on the Goldman Sachs for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says in north and central sections today, partly to mostly cloudy, patchy fog forming. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers. Lows from 57 in the north to 65 in the south. Tomorrow in northwestern and west central Illinois, mostly cloudy, some showers. A few thunderstorms should arrive. In the south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly sunny. Highs will range from 74 near Lake Michigan to around 80 in central and southern locations. Widespread showers and thunderstorms likely on Friday and Friday evening. Dry weather expected during the day on Sunday, followed by more showers and thunderstorms Sunday night. And windy and cooler weather expected on Monday with scattered showers likely in the north. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a stand by the sideways of the market for quite some time at this point, simply because there hasn't been a lot happening for the most part, and prices have been awfully low. Do you see that changing in the near future?
Well, we have seen a lot of oscillation in the marketplace here in this last 7 to 10 days. And yesterday today was probably no exception. The interesting fact is that today the weak commodities are the strong commodities, and the strong commodities that have been basically strong are weak today. We also go in and we saw soybean meal strong, and it's been a weak one. Corn's been strong, and it's been weak. And, of course, the soybeans have been strong and they were weak. And my humble opinion today is I think there was a lot of commodity fund liquidation. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there was a major fund or two that were taking major positions in the marketplace or liquidating major positions, maybe position squaring for a quarterly report or something of that nature. Before the report here, I did get a phone call, and of course the weather's been a big topic of conversation, and the gentleman was telling me the European model is very kind as far as temperatures for next week, and also that should encourage or at least create the feeling in the marketplace that we will see a higher production estimate in the October report, both in corn and soybeans, that will also, I think, as you mentioned, stabilize the market here.
Well, let me go back and ask you a couple of questions here. So that if the funds were in and they were liquidating, I assume, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that was probably out of what had been historically, at least in the last several weeks or months, historically strong commodities, the soybeans in particular. And then was there any reason for the corn to be higher like it was today?
I think it also indicated that the funds were possibly very short the wheat market. They were basically liquidating out of shorts. There could have been some corn-wheat spreads on. At the same time, the marketplace has also been quite short corn. I think it was a combination of short covering in here, and commodity funds were basically taking profits in some of their positions.
And it takes care of the day trade for the farmer who is a hedger and owns crop going into the harvest season.
And we did have a lot, believe it or not, there was a lot of phone calls about what's going on in the marketplace. Why is corn higher? Why is wheat higher? And there was a story about dust over blowing in Australia, and Australia,
right?
And we basically that area that had been so dry had received moisture. So there's some divergence of opinions there, and the market I think was had all the characteristics of a commodity fund play today more than any strong new fundamentals in the marketplace.
Well, without any new strong fundamentals, and the only thing on the horizon, I suppose, would be the next crop production report. What are your thoughts for producers?
Well, I think the trend is still unmistakably down, mm-hmm. and I think that prices are going to get continue to be on the erosion or defensive type of posture. There'll be a time, and of course the thing that bothers us so much is that the corn moisture levels will be very high. The storage costs are going to be very high. There's no outside market other than cheap prices and ethanol demand that look very promising right now. The export market's also helping to some extent stabilize things. So we think it's going to take a while before we establish a major bottom. It's going to take quite a while because of two things, the large production and also the time it's going to take to put the crop away.
Any final word on the day before I let
you
go?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too, Paul. Thanks much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana, for another one of our Illinois Public Media Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's panelists include Chuck Shelby and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Steve Erdman of EFG out of Chicago. That's this evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. Bring your agricultural questions. No advance registration is required. The meeting is free, and we hope to see you there.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in just a moment, Dave Dickey will return with all the agricultural news for the afternoon. A quick reminder to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, other ag programming you can listen to anytime you'd like. A way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. That's on the right-hand side of the page. Hit subscribe. It's all at willag.org.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Tom Harkin has filed an amendment that would bar federal regulators from considering how land is used overseas when they write rules to expand use of biofuels. Harkin filed the amendment while the Senate was considering the annual funding bill for the Interior Department and related agencies. Farm groups and ethanol makers say the EPA wrongly included how land may be converted to crops overseas in its formula for measuring greenhouse gases. They say there is little or no connection between U.S. production of crops for biofuels and the amount of land converted to crops overseas. A federal U.S. court has ruled in favor of critics of Monsanto's genetically engineered sugar beets, saying the U.S. government failed to adequately evaluate environmental and economic risks associated with the crop. The court found that USDA only gave cursory consideration to concerns, including the emergence of superweeds, as well as that organic and conventional beet farmers are damaged because the GMO sugar beets are wind-pollinated and cross-pollinate related crops grown nearby. The court has ordered the USDA to conduct a rigorous assessment of the environmental and economic impacts of the crop on farmers and the environment, and will evaluate other remedies in an October meeting of the parties. China's ag minister says the U.S. and China took a collective step toward resolving a growing list of disputes on agricultural trade issues during a Tuesday meeting. The latest U.S. agricultural trade issue developed earlier this month when China's Ministry of Commerce said it was conducting an anti-dumping investigation into whether the U.S. is selling chicken to China at prices below market. Chinese officials say the PRC have no immediate plans to sue the U.S. over anti-dumping complaints, but the ongoing investigation is still seen by U.S. chicken exporters as a potential retaliation for the U.S. government's decision to place duties on Chinese tire imports. China and the U.S. will have more opportunities to address each other's agricultural trade concerns during a broader meeting of the U.S.-China Joint Commission on Commerce and Trade in China on October 29th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear both those programs anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. It's National Farm Safety and Health Week. The National Safety Council this week is urging roadway caution for the whole of the harvest season. This year's farm safety theme, by the way, is Rural Roadway Safety, Alert, Aware, and Alive. I'll have more on the alarming increase in the number of deaths and injuries on rural roads in the Midwest that prompted that theme.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
33 people died in Illinois farm-related accidents over the last year. That number's up by 4 from the previous year, and when you break out the figures, you find a reason for the increase. The number of fatalities in farm accidents on rural Illinois roads went up by 5. It's one of the reasons the National Safety Council dubbed this year's farm safety program Rural Roadway Safety, Alert, Aware, and Alive. Now, most of the accidents happen because people do not recognize how big the farm machinery is and how slow it moves. That's why it's so important for the machinery to be marked, says the president of the Illinois Sheriff's Association, Gib Cady.
We, of course, encourage maybe even going overboard. Farm machinery has to be marked. There again, fast-approaching vehicles don't really realize at times how slow the farm implement is going. And so the brighter they're marked, the more legally they're marked. Why, the better chance as far as the depth perception, the distance perception is with a vehicle, if they're paying attention, of knowing how far it is before they get to the vehicle and doing some type of evasive action, hopefully slowing down, waiting for the proper time, waiting for the farm implement to see them, and then make a safe pass or go around the vehicle.
Again, Henry County Sheriff Gib Cady says motorists can help avoid collisions with farm machinery by taking their foot off the gas as soon as they see farm equipment, passing farm equipment only if they know conditions are safe, and exercising extreme caution on rural roadway hills and curves. Farmers sharing the road should remember to avoid peak traffic hours and the busiest roads when moving farm equipment, use escort vehicles when moving equipment, and to pull over and allow traffic to pass if road and shoulder conditions are safe. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the line with us to talk about the cash grain market this afternoon. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
Good, Todd. Good afternoon.
Last week when I gave you a call, you were all in a meeting. Was it a good one? I hope so.
Yeah, kind of going over our harvest projections and our harvest planned here.
Well, tell me a bit about that. I wondered if that might be the case.
Yeah, we probably had our first beans in our area come off a week to 10 days ago. When that happened last week, a lot of the bean processors were in the, I'd say, the 70 to about dollar over. That's since faded quite a bit. Processors on the east side of Indiana are around the 10 to 20 over. On the western side. On the eastern side, there's still you still can find some premiums on that 50 to 60 over. But by this weekend, most of those premiums are off the board, and they're at least trying to talk that they're going to the all fall bid.
You know, all fall bid. Not many beans, I suspect, have been harvested yet. What do you think? Where are they moving, and where are they not in your area?
To the south of us, most guys have had a good 3 or 4 days of bean harvest, at least on the earlier varieties. The weather's kind of cooperating. Some guys did get some rain yesterday, but if we can keep sunny and relatively warm, we'll have more and more guys go here tomorrow and Friday to take advantage of this early bean stuff.
And how once they go to fall beds, how quickly do you think that'll happen, and will the overs dissipate completely at that point?
I think the processors on the western side of Indiana will try to fade to option to small unders, maybe not quite their full harvest bid for that last couple days in September, first couple days in October. Now, we have a couple processors to the north and also a little farther east, and they're the ones that are still paying some big numbers. I think they'll still be in that 20 or 30 over next week because there's just not very many beans going in that part of Indiana here yet.
Is corn a different story?
Corn is a different story. It seems like most processors, if not all processors in Indiana, can get to at least the first couple weeks of October. With these 80-degree temperatures we've had in the last 10 days, it has just dried out this crop phenomenally compared to what we thought it was going to be. Climbers here has actually had a half dozen guys bring in new corn coming out of the field. It ranges anywhere from 17 to 22% coming from the same field, too, just depending on the spots. And you know, we'll continue to see more and more guys go at corn.
You suggest that producers or that processors will be able to make it through. Does that mean they have it on hand themselves, or are producers still bringing old crop corn in for delivery?
A little bit of both. I think more they have it on hand, but there is still a decent amount of guys, surprisingly, that are either bringing bushels in cash across the scale or are have stuff contracted for, you know, late September time frame, early October. And if they don't have corn ready, they maybe held back a little bit of old corn to fill their first half aug contracts.
And we've talked over the months as we've gone through the growing season about needing a good month in July and then a good month in August. And it appears we're going to have finish up September as a good month again, potentially. How much bigger do you think the crop has gotten in your area?
You know, we were struggling there in July. You know, we were talking that we were going to have the worst crop in 10 years or so. We're definitely going to be down from the last 2 years, but keep in mind those were two phenomenal years in our area. So we're going to be above average, probably down 10 to 15% of last year. So in our general draw area, call it a round number of 170 corn, or last year it was a 185. So still, though, very good compared to last, you know, very good compared to our APH's average over the last 10 years.
Margin on the ethanol plant still in favor of producing ethanol?
Yes. You know, margins, depending on how you buy your corn and your efficiencies, are still anywhere from the 25 to 50 cent range. So still good margins. No reason plants shouldn't be grinding corn at this time.
And finally, your bids for the day?
Yeah, Climbers is going to be at 330 and Delphi Beans at 920.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that is Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the ag news, or rather ag weather for the afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size.
It's St. Clair of Assisi Day, patron of good weather. It's also the first day of autumn. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Robert Bosch was born, a German engineer and industrialist. He was responsible for the invention of the spark plug. In 1869, Mary Mallon was born. She is better known by her nickname, Typhoid Mary. She was an infamous household cook who was responsible for major outbreaks of typhoid in New York City in 1904, 1907, and 1914. In all, she was directly responsible for 3 deaths and 51 cases of typhoid. Ironically, she was herself immune to typhoid fever. And in 1880, Sir John Boyd Orr was born, a Scottish scientist and nutrition expert. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to eliminate world hunger. In 1936, he published a report, Food, Health, and Income, a dietary survey by income groups made during 1935. It showed that the cost of a diet fulfilling basic nutritional requirements was beyond the means of half of the British population, and that 10% of the population was undernourished. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, to help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The updated models are out. What did they say about the coming weeks?
Well, it looks like a little bit colder for the early part of next week. The models came out and suggested that northern plains and parts of the northwestern Corn Belt would be just a little bit colder as we go into the Monday through Wednesday period next week. It's actually colder Monday and Tuesday, but on Wednesday morning seems to be the coldest morning out there. And on that particular morning, it looks like we could see temperatures that bottom out in some 20s, according to the pure model data, at the upper 20s and 30s. Now, this is all coming off the pure model data. It is not my official opinion, but if you want my official opinion, I think that we will have at least a risk of some frost and some light freezes that will occur at that point in time. Most of the area that would be impacted by this would be the coldest conditions would be in Minnesota and Wisconsin and maybe northeastern parts of Iowa. But frost would be possible back to the southwest into parts of Nebraska and possibly southwestern Iowa and into parts of northeastern and north central sections of Kansas. So a little bit larger area of frosty conditions, but the freezes would be further to the north. And yes, it would still be a little bit of a threat to some of these crops across the region. So we'll watch this air mass pretty closely. One of the things that bothers me about it is that it's very closely spaced with another storm system that comes in during the latter part of next week, and we may end up squeezing the high-pressure system into a very narrow band, and that may actually prevent us from getting as cold as what the pure model data is suggesting at midday today. But nevertheless, most of this frost and freeze threat for next week, and again, this would be probably Tuesday and Wednesday mornings would be coolest. It would be mostly confined to the western or the northwestern Corn Belt and would not be an issue for the areas east of the Mississippi River. Now, northern sections of Illinois could get involved with a little frost if everything comes together just right, but that would be the only place east of the Mississippi that would have that risk. And then as we go out into the second week of the two-week outlook, there's another opportunity for some chilly weather to occur. This would occur primarily on the 3rd and 4th. Of October, and it's in that second weekend, and we'll probably look at temperatures in the upper 20s and 30s across the northern plains and portions of Minnesota, and then frosty conditions back into parts of Nebraska. And I do need to clarify and correct myself a little bit. That first event for next week on Tuesday and Wednesday does not get frost all the way down into parts of Kansas, Missouri. That was actually the 3rd and the 4th that occurs on. So most of the cold for early next week would be in the northwesternmost part of the Corn Belt, Minnesota and Wisconsin primarily, maybe a few parts of eastern Dakotas.
You left about 40 seconds to give us the weather forecast between now and the weekend, I suppose.
Well, it looks like we're going to be messing with an upper-level pesky cutoff low-pressure system that's currently over the central plains, and this event will be lifting to the northeast over those days. We'll probably end up with showers and thunderstorms over a fair amount of the western Corn Belt and working its way across the Mississippi River eventually as well. During the weekend, most of the precipitation will be in the eastern Corn Belt. I expect to see rain amounts around a tenth to three-quarters of an inch for the most part, but there will be a few areas that will get some heavier rains, possibly in Ohio, eastern Kentucky, and also a few locations across Iowa and portions of eastern South Dakota.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. You have a great day, too. I'm Todd Gleason.